good evening. Welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
We are joined by somebody we haven't been joined by in a long time. A long, long time, in fact. Michelle.
It's been a while.
Bonjour.
How's it going?
It's fantastic.
That's fantastic. Well, it's good to know that you're still alive and you're still doing well.
I'm alive. I'm barely alive, but I'm doing quite well.
Barely alive. Oh, yeah, because you just came straight from work right to our show.
I did.
And that is why we hand you a big glass of wine.
It's delicious. It's red and juicy and fantastic as well.
Awesome. Nice. Listen or subscribe to our show for free from our website, which is tiptaptip.com.
What did you say? How much does it cost, Eric?
Free. Nothing.
What?
That's nothing at all, Rochelle.
What is free in life? Dirt.
Yeah, basically. Well, I suppose. From our website, tiptaptip.com, or if you go into iTunes, you type in Tip Tap Tip in the podcast section. Look for us there. Click on the subscribe button. We come to you like magic to your iTunes, and then subsequently your iPod or iPhone type thing. Right, Rochelle?
Sure, whatever
we do
works.
That, we do that stuff I just said.
Other people do that stuff that you just said.
All right. Also, make sure to catch us when we broadcast our show live. That's 8:30 p.m. Wednesdays and Sundays Calgary time.
Calgary time.
Which is Mountain time, which is Edmonton time, which is
Alberta time.
Alberta time, which is going down the border.
Denver? Is it Denver time? It feels like it should be Denver time.
I don't know any of the states.
Well,
it's not Minneapolis time.
Because that is Saskatchewan time. I don't know. What am I talking about?
I don't know.
That being said, let's get on with the show. Now, I was perusing Kijiji the other day. Because I do that and stuff. And this is not every once in a while you find something which is just the most ridiculous thing. You see, this is actually in Calgary's Kijiji section under the swap/trade section.
Is it somebody's wife?
No. This is probably the most intriguing trade I've seen in most recent times. It's called Garments for Her, ... Best deal in town, ! ! It follows. I have 106 pairs of gently used women's underwear.
Yeah.
Styles include, but are not limited to, thongs, G-strings, fat backs. What are fat backs?
I think it has something to do with bacon.
No,
what?
But in relation
to... No, I think it's those booty pants, the ones that cover your bum a lot but look really cute.
Maybe like, yeah, booty short.
Okay.
Shorts,
fatbacks, though. I've never heard it called back fatbacks.
Boy shorts, crotchless, edible. This is a wide variety. Disposable, and one pair of stylish.
Okay, sorry. Gently used edible underwear?
Well,
how is that possible?
It's a crystallized
I've only
term.
Licked it once.
And one pair of stylish, chic ladies depends. All reasonable
what?
Offers will be accepted. Serious inquiries only. This fabulous collection can be yours for a 6x8 piece of drywall. No more, no less. LBO.
I want to be friends with this gal.
They just want a piece
of drywall.
You know, it's funny that you should see that on Kijiji, because back in the day when I used to actually maintain a blog, one of my favorite activities to provide blog fodder was go on to Craigslist to look at the like men seeking women or
oh yeah the casual know, encounter section.
Yeah, and one of them, my favorite that I've ever come across, was a UFC grad student, no less,
yeah,
who was offering $50 to anybody who would get like $50 per pair of panties to women who were attractive and would sell him their used panties. And I'm just thinking, like, fuck, take them. I don't have to wash them. $50.
You buy, like, what, how many more new pairs with that?
I know. And a week's worth? God, you could clean up.
Yeah, but it's kind of, like, that means that dude's smelling your panties.
Whatever.
Like,
so
if you don't,
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care what. I don't care if you murder somebody with it.
For me, it would depend on if you had to actually, like, see him face-to-face and hand you your panties, or if you could just send them in the mail. If you could just send them in the mail to him, whatever.
Well, you do,
I don't
so
care.
You get a plain...
You would?
Totally.
I don't want to meet that person.
They're old, used cotton underwear that I will never see again. And
creepy. Yeah. He's
you
a creepy.
You take like a brown paper lunch bag and you just sort of gently push it across the table towards this person. And then like they, you know, they give you like a Ziploc bag.
Yeah,
full
but then
of,
they see you and they know what you look like. And then they're probably going to stalk you and then try and get more panties from you or like break into your house and smell all your
panties.
That's
why you never, that's why you always have
to
follow.
I don't think the panty sniffers are that ballsy.
No,
that's why you always follow the cardinal rule of Craigslist transactions. Always do it in a public place, like a coffee shop.
Higher ground in Kensington is great for that kind of thing.
You know, you go because it's not like
the
they're
perfect
gonna,
panty
I'm
exchanging
to sponsor
place.
Higher ground in Kensington. Stop on by for a latte
and some panties.
Don't bring any brown paper bags into the cafe.
Do you think that it would be legal to have a machine like what they have in Japan, apparently, where they sell used panties?
Oh.
Like a dispenser machine, like potato chips, but instead of potato chips, it's
that's
used
right,
panties?
That's right, they do that in Japan.
Yeah, like, do you think it would be legal to do that here?
I'm sure it would be legal. Because,
fuck,
whether
why
or not
are we not jumping on that bandwagon?
You know, there's legal, and then there's socially acceptable. I think there's a sort of a difference between Japan and...
Yeah, you'd have to have that machine in, like, a corner of a dark room where people couldn't see the people purchasing it, probably.
I guess for even, and actually, come to think of it, I guess even for a machine like that, there would need to be a technician to fix it. Sure, it should a
or you could just do it like
caught up in the. Oh, if I
imagine when the technician opens that fucker up, though, like bam, on a hot summer day.
You could probably do it like you know those like. Church confession booths, like have it kind of like you go into a special little secret thing.
But door. With a beaded curtain, right?
Yeah.
This all is right. Sounding more and more like a Madonna video circa 1992.
Probably.
It's not bad at all. Not bad at all. Being said, this is something I found. And a girl gets boob job voucher for her seventh birthday.
Seventh?
Seventh.
A voucher.
Voucher saying when you're 16... You can get boobs. The 50-year-old mother, Sarah Berg, has boasted that she gave her daughter a 6,000 British pound breast enlargement voucher to her daughter for her seventh birthday. Miss Berg, who spent more than 500,000 British pounds on her own surgical enhancements and wants to make her daughter into a glamour model, said Poppy, that's the name of her daughter.
Of course, her name is Poppy.
Squealed with delight when given the voucher. She said, Poppy begged me for a boob job. So I gave her the voucher so she can have it when she's 16, when it's legal. If she develops naturally big boobs, she can have something else done with it. The voucher was part of a 12,000-pound exotic pamper party that Miss Burge organized to mark her daughter's seventh birthday. Poppy says, I wanted a new computer, a holiday, and a voucher for surgery. When I got it all, it was a dream come true. All my friends were jealous. I can't wait to be like mommy with big boobs. They're pretty.
You know what else 6,000 pounds would buy? Probably a nice solid round of psychotherapy that she will inevitably need when she hits 18, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah, because that's fucked up to want that stuff when you're 7.
Yeah.
Man, I was excited to like paint my nails when I was 7.
I was just allowed to pierce my ears when I was 6. And I had to save up every single penny myself.
Now, I was reading this article and I was trying to figure out like how does, you know, like it sounds like she's a single mother. How does a single mother afford to do that much?
You know how?
She sells her panties.
No, it gets even better. Miss Burge, who lives in a 500,000-pound four-bedroom home in Cambridgeshire, is more than capable of paying for the lavish celebration thanks to the lucrative business she runs organizing plastic surgery and swinging parties and writing erotic novels.
Oh my goodness. We've talked about writing erotic novels.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Yeah.
We have.
Rochelle keeps bugging me to write.
I told Michelle
erotic
she should do that.
Literature for women because there's a very, very woeful lack.
You're thinking like a step above romance novels? Like,
no, it wouldn't be anything like romance novels. It would be more like an ISNN or like.
Like they would say the word penis in it?
I don't know.
Instead of his hard member.
Have you ever slept with anybody and he's actually used the word penis?
That's such a weird clinical word to use.
It's is a weird clinical word, and it's happened to me before, and it was like, it's new.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm trying to think, like, in which context, which romantic context?
I guess dick. Most guys just say dick, right?
Or cock, or...
Cack.
Yeah, guys like saying cock.
It's a nice sounding word, though. It's just like so forceful and.
Yeah, it's like sounds like fuck, kind of, right?
Yeah, I suppose, right? It has that same sort of a.
My favorite is from Extras. I believe Kate Winslet said purple-headed womb ferret.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's so gross.
Another reason why I adore that woman.
I was actually, it's funny, as I can't remember which movie we'd seen Kate Winslet in. I think it was The Reader we watched for the first time a few months ago, and I said to Rochelle, is Kate Winslet naked in every fucking movie?
She is.
And every, like, her, between her and Ewan McGregor, they just can't keep their fucking
Little Children, she's naked in that too. That's one of my favorite movies. She's naked in that one. Titanic, she takes her top off. Well, she takes everything off, actually.
Yeah, because she's posing on the couch.
Yeah.
And then there's that one, I can't remember what it's called, where she's stranded in a house in the desert because she's British, but she decides that she wants to be Indian and Muslim and stuff.
Oh, shit. What was that movie? It's the,
Anyway, and then she...
There's somebody listening. Was that the one where
where she's being deprogrammed by Harvey Keitel?
Yeah.
And then she pees on the ground while standing up?
Oh my God,
she's standing and
this?
She takes a piss, like, while standing, and then Harvey Keitel is like, yeah, I'll fuck you now. And then
was it from, like, the mid-90s?
So fucked up.
You have a thing for Harvey Keitel, though, don't you? I remember you saying this.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same as Benicio del Toro. Like,
I don't get that.
Benicio.
Yeah, whatever. Like they're kind of, like, gross... angry men, but they're kind of hot at
swarthy.
The same time. Like,
The swarthiness. I can totally see it.
Benicio, what does swarthy mean?
Like, kind of, well, like a pirate is kind of swarthy, like kind of dirty and
gross and dangerous, and
but like leering and just kind of very sexual and swarthy. This will get you pretty far, fellows.
I've never understood that. I don't know.
You know, I think Johnny Depp ruined pirates for me because I just automatically assumed pirates would have dreads, and I don't like dreads because. Dreads have bugs in them, but I don't think pirates really do have dreads.
I don't know. Let's go ask some.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to the. Let's go to Somalia and let's ask those pirates over there whether they're.
They probably just shave their head.
Probably just shoot us.
Yeah, they probably just and board our ship and put and hold us for ransom until.
And by board our ship, Eric means rape the women and slay the men.
Yeah, pretty much.
And rid you of your iPhone.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Now, that's
I like
just...
how that's the thing that gets a reaction from you, not your wife being raped, but the iPhone being taken.
Oh my goodness, you're so mean.
Well, it is an iPhone 3GS, so I'll keep you. Oh, fuck.
3GS? Well, those are pretty curvy.
That's like not even the new one.
It's not even the new one.
And your iPhone will like expire in a year. It will be
you
a total
still have
piece
an iPhone
of
3GS?
Shit.
But I have an iPhone 3GS.
What's wrong with
but
you?
But I won't, Eric. I'll still be good.
You'll still be good, huh? In a year?
Yeah. Right. You're so mean. I asked Eric when we were going for a walk, I'm like, what did you do before you had a phone? Like, because you know how in the mall there's like those man couches and all the men sit on the couches and they play with their phones. What did these guys do before their phones?
And it's funny. I was thinking about that.
While the women are shopping.
And I could not come up with an answer. I know I lived in an era before I had a phone because I
distinctly remember not paying $100 a month on something.
I got my first cell phone in like 2003, 2004. And obviously I had an entire life before that, of which I managed to go through life not fucking around with electronic things and just, but I can't remember what I did.
You know, it's because you're the, playing with the phone, it's just destroyed your memory.
It is totally fucked my memory.
Yeah, it probably has like some sort of electronic ray that goes into your brain and turns the regular functions off.
Either that or I'm just getting genuinely more dumb without the help of a phone,
sit and wait for Rochelle to change or to like, you know, try on bathing suits and you would develop like Marxist theses on.
Oh, yeah. I'd write manifestos in my brain. And
Manifesto.
Exactly.
That's what they used to know.
I'm trying to think what my dad did. And I, like, when my mom was shopping.
Complain. One, probably. You're taking too fucking long. How many pairs of fucking underwear do you need to try on before you can pick one?
No, they don't go shopping together like that. Okay. I don't think that, like, I think he just went shopping for himself at the same time.
Well, that they're saying, like,
or else, oh no, he would always just go off to the Jürgenfrau stand.
There you go. Actually, now I remember. I just go to, like, to the Orange Julius and hang out.
Yeah.
And
or HMV, right?
Yeah, I would peruse the HMV.
Yeah, HMV used to be
that was always full of dudes.
Look at the new singles and that would be that.
Yeah, oh, right. Crushed Dummies' new album is out. It's fantastic.
Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. That's fantastic.
The creepiest teacher I ever had was a big Crush Test Dummies fan.
Yeah.
And he looked and sounded a lot like the lead singer. And,
it was
molesty and creepy.
Gross.
Yep. He was, and he's still teaching. Sorry, kids.
I did not have such a creepy teacher. I think the weird, strangest teacher I had was my grade 6 teacher, Mr. Hurl, because he... Because
his name was Mr. Hurl.
That. And then the fact that he would play Dungeons and Dragons with the grade 6s at lunchtime, and was amongst them.
Is he still single?
Probably retired now, I'm guessing.
That's weird.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was a bit of a D&D nerd, and I guess, like, grade 6, and then I kind of got out of it in junior high because I was really concerned about my reputation. And that obviously didn't pan out.
As a ladies' man. No. As a swarthy pirate.
The most disturbing memory I have from junior high is having our homeroom teacher show us how to put a condom on a banana. And he was like, he's like the most unattractive dude ever. And then he would stand in front of the classroom and he'd always have like one hand down the back of his pants.
Oh, what?
Like, sweet real Jesus. Teaching you?
Did he like take his hand out and sniff it sometimes?
I don't remember. He would just like, he'd have it in the back of his pants and he'd just be standing there and you could tell like going around. Like, it's not like it's just on his back.
Not just like it's resting on his, on his buttock.
So gross.
Things that people do when they think that like they think nobody's watching, or they think that kids are watching and they don't think that we, like, as children,
pick up
understand
on these things.
What's going on.
Yeah. And the other thing, like, one of my math teachers, every time she would write on the chalkboard, we would all just stare at, like, the arm flab that she had.
Oh, I had a couple of those.
Because it would, like, seriously wiggle, like, back and forth when she was writing. And it was mesmerizing. That's all we looked at.
And the entire class is just entranced.
Yeah.
Entranced. Yeah. Staring.
Hypnosis.
She's made me really, like, that has made me really paranoid of having, like, saggy arms. Like, I don't care if I have that when I'm, like, over 60, but I don't want it right now.
Because by then, by that point, I'll have also just kind of given up as well, too.
You're going to have saggy balls and saggy
tits. Down to my knees. And
I think both of us are going to have that, what's that called when you have, like,
jowls?
Yeah, a double chin, like, saggy jowls.
Oh, yeah.
We could, like, play with our jowls together.
Because that's what we'll be doing when we're...
Do my Betty Rubble laugh.
Because, you know, because we'll have lots of time.
We could, like, probably flick each other's jowls and watch it jiggle.
Like, and I'll say, Michelle, okay, stop doing that. I'm trying to play with my iPhone 30, all right?
And Rochelle's like, kids, when Dad's jowls stop shaking, come for dinner.
That's ours. We're hungry now.
Your kids sound so special.
They will be special. This is an interesting article I found. Rochelle's going to read.
You always find good shit.
Well, I find stuff. I get stuff sent to me, but
this is good. This is quite relevant to our previous discussion,
exactly.
Michelle.
Exactly.
Romance novels can be as addictive as pornography. According to psychologist Dr. Julie Slattery, author of Finding the Hero in Your Husband, there are similarities between what happens to a man when he views pornography and what happens to a woman when she reads a romance novel. Women are more stimulated by romance than sex. So when they read romantic stories and they don't have to be explicit to work, they can experience the same addicting chemical release as men do. for women
all over their face.
Yeah. Really? We got sperm somewhere? For many women, these novels really do promote dissatisfaction with their real relationships. Break the addiction. Commit to stop reading romance books. Commit to working on your relationship if you're in one. Find a different hobby or find a new genre of books to enjoy. Invest in your real life, not fictional characters.
There you go.
Are you trying to like say something to me? Because I don't read romance novels.
No, I found it interesting because it's such a strange equivalency that they're trying to portray there. Like I don't get it, but then again, I'm working with the guy brain, so.
I hate that people, these types of articles and studies, I really hate that they equate the kind of pornography that men, internet porn and videos and stuff like that, to romance novels, because it's two completely different things. I mean, and there's just the idea that girls only read romance novels as their source of pornography, that's bullshit.
No.
You know, I think it's more accepted for our generation to watch porn, and it's more accepted for our mother's generation. Not that I ever found any of these in my mom's place, but to read those.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't know anyone my age in my book club. I know all of us agreed not to read romance novels because none of us like them because they're stupid and they're written really poorly.
You know, the biggest growing market in the e-reader, e-reader titles are like romance novels because like women can read them on the bus, on the train, and nobody has to see the titles of them or anything like that.
And they're probably really cheap.
Yeah, they're super cheap. Oh, well, I mean, like those presses that crank out romance novels, they put out like dozens of titles a month.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're very cheap. So the next time you see a chick reading an e-reader,
but
that's what I read. Like, are you talking about like when you see e-reader,
like a Kindle or whatever type device, right?
I read though.
Not everybody, but
have you been reading?
It's fun to think about. It's fun to pretend. Trollop.
I've never liked those romance novels. Like, they're really dumb. Like,
not even the
ones. Can't get past like the really bad writing.
Yeah, they're terrible.
It's like the guy's either a doctor. We
went through the list of like what the
top professions are by romance novel.
Oh,
Doctor
really?
Tops list.
Oh, God.
There's like cowboy.
Of course, what fantasy does that fulfill? That's not just a sexual fantasy. That's a financial fantasy.
Yeah, there you go.
The doctor. No, but it's also because the doctor can take care of you and cure you and stuff.
Rescue you and put you back together. Make sure that you don't come out crippled for the rest of your life, because doctors are helpful.
Give you a free boob job.
That's awesome.
I don't really, I'm not attracted to doctors at all.
Clearly.
That lifestyle, oh, can you imagine being with somebody who's on call all the time and who's constantly working under that much stress? He's going to die when he's 50 anyways.
Well, and I really don't like hospitals. I find them really gross, so I wouldn't want to have to be with somebody who's always at a hospital and come home smelling like a hospital.
Smelling like hospital? Like a...
like super sterile smell.
Oh, okay.
You know?
All right. So you'd go for the cowboy then. Right?
She goes for David Bowie, circa 1980. In Labyrinth.
No, I don't know. Yeah. No, he's pretty hot in that. But no,
yeah, we know Rochelle because we've heard you
Say cowboy because when you say cowboy, in Calgary, that's just some dude with a cowboy hat
and
jeans. Like I'm saying,
let me clarify.
Lumberjack. Okay.
No. Ranch hand.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good.
All right.
Ranch hand. Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
Pool boy.
That works for me.
Pool boy. No.
Gardener.
Pool boy is hot, but I'd totally take the ranch man over the pool boy.
Ranch hand.
See, I'm all about the moody, brooding writer.
Really?
In the dark little cafe, and yeah, those are the kind of stereotypes that I like. Artists, tortured artists. Totally. Oh,
like a less gross Bukowski is what you're thinking, or
Even more gross Bukowski?
What? You can't get more gross than him. He was disgusting.
That club, the Purple Onion, that's what Bukowski called his penis, the Purple Onion. That was a nickname he had for his dick.
Ew.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay.
It's because it was stinky.
I don't know. I wasn't really on it.
I like his books. They're funny.
Yeah, I remember you showed me one of the What was it you read? Like Woman or something like that?
Not many women like Bukowski.
Yeah, he's a dirty fucker. Like if you're okay, like reading a book written by a dirty fucker, it's funny. Yeah.
I tell you.
Yeah, that book was called Women, and the other one I can't remember what it was called.
You read another Bukowski?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing your book right now in your book club.
What are you reading for your book club?
You get so excited, Eric, when I'm done my
book. I've never seen you read a book that fast.
I've not done it yet. I got two pages left, okay?
Okay, two whole pages, but you'll be done tonight.
Yes, I will.
And then you're going to be reading...
Petro's... Oh, fuck you guys. I've had like two glasses gold of wine. I can't remember.
Gold something's equation.
Goldbach's conjecture. Oh. Uncle Petro's and the Goldbach's conjecture or something like that.
Weird. I've heard of.
That's some really hard name.
It's about math and stuff, right?
I've never heard of it.
It's like a Greek name or something.
Oh, wow. I don't know what...
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It was an easy read. I can grab it if you really want to know what it is. It's like in the other room.
We'll leave it for
what's
the next show.
What's the next one? Do you remember what the next one is?
No.
Romance novel?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Tropic of Capricorn? Tropic of Cancer?
Ooh, yeah. Tropic of Cancer. That's a filthy little term.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll read some porn. You know what was so weird? I was talking with one of my clients about my book club and how, you know, I'm the book I'm reading right now is about math. And I'm like, I don't really know if I like math, but I actually got really into the book.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know what you should read next time for your book club? And I'm like, what? You got a good book suggestion? He's like, yeah, you guys should read Playgirl and then analyze how the guy's packages.
Next, please.
I'm like, what the hell?
What?
Isn't that weird? That's a client of mine telling me this.
It's a bit awkward. It was just
Yeah, super awkward. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pass that off as a joke. Next topic.
Maybe. Is it your turn to pick the books next time or what?
You guys, I don't know. I didn't go to the last book club, and I just, like, you know, other people organized it.
Have you read The Help for your book club yet? Apparently, that's a really popular book club book.
The Help?
Yeah. Catherine Stockett, The Help.
No.
It's about these, like, young white women in Jackson, Mississippi in the early 60s, and they're black maids. And it's actually made into a movie, and it will come out in August, I believe. It was a really good book, but a friend of mine belongs to a book club that she just kind of happens to stumble into.
Yeah.
Really not like a bunch of people that she loves, but it's just something for her to do. And apparently, all these women that she's in the book club with, they're basically like stay-at-home moms. They're like 2011 equivalent of these, you know, white women in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they're talking, they're identifying with the white women, the, like, you know, antagonistic white women, and talking about their, like, Filipino maids and how sweet it is for them to, you know, pay half the ticket for them to go home at Christmas time. And yeah, it's...
Oh, that's weird. That would be awkward.
Yeah.
If you're in the wrong book club, it's bad. Mm-hmm. It can be a bad scene.
I'm so I waffle on book clubs. I would like to join one, but at the same time, I'm not convinced.
It's a bit of a commitment. I don't know how you guys pull it off every month.
It's because we're all friends with each other, and we have been before we actually started the book club.
Okay, so it's like...
That's the only reason why it works, is because we already all know that we like each other.
But that's...
At least that's what I think.
That's good to know. I hope they fucking like
me. Unless we don't all like me. Don't talk about book club.
Yeah. Anyways, do you have any topic ideas, any questions, anything you'd like to share with us? Send it to info@tiptaptip.com. That's our email address, isn't it, Rochelle? Because we get stuff. We get stories. We get topic ideas.
Do I have to send it to info@tiptaptip.com?
That's our email address.
Info. Okay.
Like information.
Information for us.
Yeah.
Well, you can send it to anything at tiptaptip.
Really? Like fuck off at tiptaptip.com?
I think it all goes to the same thing.
Grapefruit at tiptaptip.
It all goes back to like my email address.
Really?
Yeah. I knew that. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, that's the way I worked it and stuff. I made it.
That's cool. I'm going to write you emails.
To
say fuck off tip tap tip
at tiptaptip.com.
Yeah,
sure. And I'll just reply with a sad face. Anyways, yeah, so we haven't had too many any advice questions, but that would be nice to get, because Rochelle and I are clearly very qualified people when it comes to dispensing advice.
I thought we only did that when Dr. Shokia was here.
Yeah, she's a professional.
almost professional.
And we're mostly qualified, but not really. Actually, we're not really qualified.
No, we're not really qualified at all. But that's what makes it fun.
But it doesn't. You don't need some stupid letters behind your name just to spell out an opinion on why somebody's doing something wrong.
Yeah. So maybe we should rephrase that. We give opinions, not advice.
All right. Just so we're clear. And if you want an opinion from either Rochelle or I, send that to info@tiptaptip.com. Pardon me. And we'll tell you why your life has gone horribly wrong.
Can we change our email address, like, on our podcast and tell people to send stuff to fuckoff@tiptaptip.com?
Info is such a generic.
I know. That's why it's boring, though.
Rochelle, do you really want me to set up that? Set that up?
It's just a suggestion.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
But in the meantime, if you have anything,
you can cut the tension in here with a knife.
What the fuck are you doing, Rochelle? I had a good show plan, and you're fucking it up.
I'm sorry. Shut up.
Shut the fuck up. This is just typical of our show. We have all this sort of
What?
I'm just looking at you, waiting for you to stop. Behave.
She's gonna burn you in the face with that cigarette.
That's right. I can move quicker than you.
Whatever. You're sick and weak.
Well, just, I can dodge.
See, like, if I don't say anything, Eric, then we'll just have dead air. That's why I keep on talking.
All right. Malaysian women launched the...
a piece of cork.
Oh, sorry.
Malaysian women launched the Obedient Wife Club. It's true.
Is this a hint?
I'm just reading the story.
Malaysian
I'm not
women,
saying...
You said?
Pardon?
Malaysian
women. Launched the Obedient Wife Club. A group of Malaysian Muslim women say they will fight divorce, domestic violence, and other problems by appealing to wives to be more obedient.
Because we know that that's why men hate
clearly,
because they don't listen.
Clearly that's the reason.
Bitch, if you just listen, you wouldn't make me want to hit you.
Masna Taufik said the Obedient Wife Club is aimed at teaching women how to please their husbands better to prevent them from straying or misbehaving. So being a whore in the bedroom.
That's not saying that.
And being a wife in the kitchen.
You're just making that up.
Reading between the lines.
That's where I'm reading between
pleasing,
the lines.
Pleasing, so they won't stray.
That's just you saying what you want.
Just me, Rochelle.
I don't like it when mom and dad are fighting.
We want to...
Where's my 6,000-pound boob job?
We just want to ask all the wives to be obedient, so there'll be fewer problems in our society. Obedient wife means they're trying to entertain their husbands, not only taking care of their food and clothes. They have to obey their husbands. Masna said it was also the men's responsibility to teach their wives to be obedient. Some wives, they just want to get married for leisure, and they don't know the responsibilities, she said.
For leisure.
For leisure. And for laughs and giggles and stuff like that.
Because being a Malaysian wife is just like... You've got it, me.
It's like, good time.
This is the reason why I never wanted to get married.
Obey, Rochelle.
I take it back.
To entertain their husbands is compulsory.
How do you entertain your husband?
Damn. You need to ask them.
Okay,
clearly,
Bobby.
You need to join the club, Rochelle.
It's a puppet show time.
You would do a puppet show for me, Rochelle?
No.
Not
if you made me, I wouldn't do it. But if I wanted to do it, then I would do it.
You're not being obedient.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck you.
Obey. To entertain their husbands is compulsory. If she doesn't do this, the husband will look for another woman, and the house will break down. Do you want this house to break down? Puppet show. Puppet show, or this fucking marriage is a sham.
But then that's not fair.
There's some socks.
Then
there's
what
some buttons
is,
in the sewing kit. Get
my,
cracking. I want
my
some.
Question to this.
Cat looks
like,
terrified.
My question to this like obedient wife club is, what does the husband have to do then? Right.
Yeah, well, it's it
she has to teach her how to be obedient. That's his.
Exactly.
Job.
That's his
all?
Responsibility.
But just that's not really him doing anything though.
He's teaching you how to not act up and obey the rules, and to keep me entertained.
That's stupid. Not Let's talk about up. Something else.
Wait, you don't
What's
like
your source on this? The Christian Science Monitor.
I think it was Routers or something like that. yeah, actually, this article was. I'm not sure if I found this or if this was sent to us. I don't recall. But I should remember these things.
You should. Bad.
Obey. I'm just gonna say that. I want puppets.
Every time that you see
did I ever
that,
tell you the time
I punch you in the armpit?
Did I ever tell you the time? This was probably early to mid 90s. I was going on a road trip with some friends of mine to see a band in Bozeman, Montana.
Whoa. Yeah, I think you told me about this, but
I'll just quickly reiterate. But anyways, we had some time to kill because this was the day before cell phones. So there's about four or five of us in the car, and we're just going down there, and we're approaching the border to pass into Montana, and for some reason I was weird. I was really weird when I was young. Really, really weird. But anyways, for some reason I had like a sewing kit and some extra socks.
You needed to like stitch up all your grunge out pants.
No, so I decided that I was gonna make sock puppets in the car.
What? God, you two were meant to be.
In order to kill some time. And I had this whole plan, which I didn't carry through because it probably would have ended up with me arrested and or searched for goods. But my plan, which I obviously didn't go through with, was that when I was going to approach the border to pass into the United States, you know, they ask you questions like, you know, sorry, is there anything you want to declare? And I was just going to go, yeah, I have something I want to declare. You're an asshole.
Are you serious?
I didn't do that.
With your sock puppet.
Yeah, with my sock puppet.
You're weird.
Didn't do it. So clearly...
did you end up making any sock puppets?
I made the puppet, but I didn't go through that.
You just didn't have the balls yet.
Yeah, I chickened out. Yeah. I don't think I did have the balls yet.
Did your friends know that you were going to do that?
Oh, yeah. They were like, do it. Do it. Come on. And I'm like, well, I don't know. That's
and how old were you?
I was probably 20 at most, as maybe
really?
19. Maybe 20, maybe 21 at most. 21 wow. At most. It's just, I don't know what's going on.
And you weren't doing drugs?
No, I didn't.
You never said that.
No, because I didn't really start drinking until a few years later. I didn't really, and then when it's...
What? You didn't drink when you were 19? Or 20?
No, I'll tell you my entire drinking history is I got really, really drunk with friends at 14 on screwdrivers, which 14-year-olds clearly don't know how to mix, so we puked all over the place. And then I didn't really start drinking again until I was 21. And then I played catch up for all those lost years where I should be drinking. So I was drinking like candied apples out of the jug with a straw, monkey's lunch.
What is monkey's lunch?
What was it? It's like, I can't remember.
I know.
I remember
they're
tasty, though.
I was drinking lots of candy.
Yeah, I remember.
What were you drinking?
There was a time when my sister used to work at, do you guys remember Club X? It used to be called The Factory.
Where's this?
It was in Calgary at the Highlander Hotel. No,
I'm
anyway, my sister was a bartender, or a server there. And it was like two blocks from my house. So me and my friends would go, they would have free pool and dollar draft. And so we would go and we would, me and a girlfriend, we got really, really good over one summer. And we actually kind of like, hustled some guys out of their money. A lot of like, it was right by McMahon Stadium. And so a lot of like football teams and like minor, you know, like sports teams and stuff, they would come and pass through. And of course they would stay at the hotel and go down to the bar to drink. And we totally hustle them. So dollar draft was big. That and Blue Mondays. I used to really like Blue Mondays.
What's Blue Mondays?
I think it's blue. I never know to pronounce it Curacao or Curaco. I've heard it both.
No idea.
Call it Curacao like the island, but blue Curacao. And I think like something red to make it kind of purplish.
Martini.
It's fucking disgusting.
Apparently, this is something I learned. Apparently, if you drink candied apples all night, your puke is actually red. This is something.
Yeah, because it's like has red syrup in it.
Yeah, I learned that when I went on a fucking girl drink drunk one night. This is ridiculous. Oh, the triple candy apple, please.
Let's just drink candy apples and be big fat bitches.
Because I didn't know. It was like the first drink, and I liked it because it was sweet. It was like easy to go down with, and I didn't know. So it was just like, and the warehouse served them at the time. I was just like,
the warehouse.
I have another candy apple. It's like, all right, you stupid idiot. There's your fucking whatever candy apple for the night. Oh, my goodness. Remember, I ever tell you about this one drinking game? I'm not sure if I invented it, but I think I'm one of the only people who I know have actually done it. This is when I was living in Vancouver, and And I'm like, I should be talking about all the bad times I'm drinking. Tip tap tip listeners. Don't drink a lot. You'll end up like
you'll end up puking red shit.
That being said, I invented there's this game called The Line. Yeah, how this game works is you get like a, you know, like a regular size pint glass, right? And then you fill it up all the way or as much as you can with orange juice, right? And then you make a point, like you either put a little elastic around the edge of the glass or you mark it some other way, right? What you do is you drink your orange juice, right? But for every drink of your orange juice that you have, that it goes down, you have to replace the contents with vodka. Right?
That's insane.
That is insane. Because the more you drink...
You actually did this?
Yeah, well, we didn't really... Like, me and a friend did this, and we had big plans of going out in the town, but then we just kind of, like...
We're gonna take over the world!
So the thing is, how it works is the more you drink, every subsequent drink is stronger because you are constantly filling it up with vodka until you're almost drinking it, like, you know...
Straight
mostly vodka with like a dash of orange, right?
Disgusting.
Yeah, it was a bad idea. And let me just say this as a tip tap tip public service announcement to our listeners. Don't ever do that. Let me be a lesson to you.
Yeah, play real drinking games, guys. Like the Roxanne drinking game. Every time he sings Roxanne, you have to take a drink.
Really?
I did that in Greece. Yep.
How many times does he say that in Greece?
A fucking lot.
A lot, yeah.
A lot.
That you get totally wasted on yep. that too.
In that one song.
Roxanne.
Yeah.
I didn't
know
that. Says it a lot. Yeah, and then the chorus is like, Roxanne! Roxanne!
You're like, oh, motherfucker. Yeah. It's like, fuck you, Sting, you piece
of
shit.
And when you do it drinking ouzo, it's particularly troublesome.
Screw you and your dead sex, motherfucker. Sting. He actually was reading an article about that. He's saying that he's when he's talking about his epic tantric sex sessions with his wife, that like he recently just came out and said, yeah, it was just totally bullshitting.
Really?
Yeah. Because
who's he married to? Who's this is Sting, right?
Trudy something?
Trudy Styler is his wife. I think I'm not sure what she does, but
supermodel?
No, I think she's like a producer of some sort. But anyways, he I think maybe 15 or so years ago he was interviewed and he, for whatever reason, he divulged the information that he and his wife would have like these epic, epic lovemaking sessions. And by that, I mean like, what, 12, 15 hours at a stretch.
Yeah, without orgasming once.
Yeah.
And it was all a lie.
Yeah, like he just
that
like.
Son of a bitch.
Motherfucker. Meanwhile.
I've measured every lover against Sting and none has come up.
Meanwhile, like, you know, entire generation.
Hours.
Could you, like, man.
Man, you asked me to do a podcast for 8 hours, and I said, no, I couldn't imagine doing
really? That would be a fantastic idea. You could have people, like, come in and out, like, guests come and go.
See? There we go.
That's a great idea. You don't want to do it?
Yeah, Rochelle, what's wrong with you?
8 hours. It's a long time.
People
like,
come in, they go, they go. It's like, you know, we have a little bit of a looser format. It'll be fun.
You should do it for your 300th episode.
There we go.
I'll think about it.
Okay, well, you have another 50 whatever episodes to think about it. You can do it. Come on. Be a fucking sport.
Can I take a nap? Have a nap time in between?
It has to be by the mic, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Just put it next to the couch and the mic. Just adjust the mic stand.
And then this other thing happened.
Still just turn it up so everybody can hear you. For 8 hours. You'll have an 8-hour nap. It'll be a show. I'll release it as a show with music at the beginning and.
Dun, dun, dun,
and then I'll have the announcement at the 4-hour mark. If you have any information or stories you want to share, info@tiptaptip.com.
I would be pleased to be part of that 8-hour show. I think you guys should do it.
I think you should do it. Well, we have
just, it would be ridiculous.
Why not? And what I want to do is I just want to release it as a regular episode so that. Somebody gets
when
it.
Someone downloads it. It's had no clue.
All of a sudden, it's like, what the fuck is coming down the pipes? Like,
when is this shit gonna end?
And
oh
it could be
goodness.
Like episode,
and
whatever,
this
whatever.
American life.
No way. It's just a single ridiculous file. I don't know, it's something to think about.
And we'd have to find really good stories for something like that.
Like this one, woman hands booze delivery driver IOU.
What was the IOU? Her tits.
Sure. An Alberta woman who police say is under a court order not to consume Whoa, alcohol.
Sony's been consuming alcohol.
Says the wino.
Another glass of wine, please.
With pork.
Allegedly ordered alcohol and other items from a delivery service and gave the delivery man an IOU instead of money. Well, fuck, I wish I could do that. Police in Camrose say a 47-year-old woman placed her order Tuesday night. When the delivery man arrived, the woman took her items inside and closed the door, police said. After the delivery man knocked several times, the woman returned and handed him a written note that said she'd pay later, police said. The driver went to the police station to report it, and during their investigation, officers discovered the woman is under a court order to not possess, purchase, or consume alcohol. Police are investigating.
I'm good for it. Trust me.
Yeah. Police, yeah. Police,
I wish you could give IOU notices things to everything.
IOU? What would you give IOUs to?
Groceries.
I would have liked to have been there, I should say, to see that. Because, like, have you ever taken a cab ride and realized you don't have the cash? Or like, they just about kill you.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, having somebody bring you liquor and you can't pay them? That's rough.
Yeah.
You're going to get a mob on your ass for that.
Mob. Yeah, but they don't control alcohol now.
Oh, no. Organized crime has nothing to do with booze and alcohol. Yes, they do.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just drugs.
All sorts of vices. They got their fingers in that.
I think people should just do bartering. Bartering is so much fun because then you get something from that person that you want, and then they get something that they want.
You think I could barter my underwear for
your underwear?
A loaf of bread or something?
No.
No. Two loaves of bread?
No. They're gross. That good? They're gross, Eric.
Oh, man. Think if I bartered for it, they would just throw the bread at my head and tell me to go
away. Why would you want to do that for bread? Bread is like a dollar. Like, try at least you know, give yourself a bit more credit and try and do it for a car or something.
Two loaves of bread? I don't know.
Okay, but in all fairness, though, I think he has a lot better chance trading his underwear for bread than a car.
First of all,
even a Sebring.
Rochelle, I don't wear boxers, so I'm wearing something a little bit snug. So you know that if there's any sort of musk,
I know
that
what,
is happening. It's me absorbed because of the close proximity.
Talk about men who wear boxers.
Are you trying to like sell your underwear to people who listen to the podcast? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm trying to sell, but no one's buying.
Jason, men wearing boxers, I think, is so gross. Boxers are unflattering on everybody.
I don't understand why that would be comfortable for
you. Well, if you're wearing like looser pants, yeah, I get it, right? But
no, really, because if I had that junk hanging around, like, I would not want it just like here and there and moving around. I would want it like snug.
Let me tell you, it is a problem.
So why do men wear boxers?
I don't know. Because, like, there's been times where, you know, I'm sitting in the office and
Is this going to be too much information?
It's not too much. We're adults here. Where I have to sneak off the bathroom to readjust, if you will, just because I'm very.
Sometimes I need to do that with my tits.
You know, because you try and concentrate, but you're just like,
me too.
Fuck, I can't work with this thing going the way I don't want it. So I'm just like, all right, well, I'm just gonna go fix my hair. Just.
You're so weird today. You didn't have any wine, did you?
No, I'm just drinking water.
Oh. Put something in that?
No.
Are you going to try one
of those? Is it ball sweat?
Yeah, there we go.
It's a big jug of ball sweat.
Open up the top and just...
Ball sweat. Oh, that's disgusting.
You take a sip.
You mean delicious.
I would not.
You take a big sip, Rochelle.
Oh, the guy in the chat is saying that for your underwear sales, skid marks are extra.
Oh, my God.
That's so gross.
Yeah. I don't know how.
What's this? What's the username of the person?
Lee Way. LEEWAY. Who's joining?
It's like freeway, but not.
With an L.
Leeway. I understand the word.
Yeah.
Leeway. So you're saying.
What?
No exchange of goods for my underwear.
No.
What do you think? What could I barter? What am I good at?
Like a banana.
Or not what am I good at? What. Okay.
Sperm. You could get something for your sperm.
Yeah.
What about, like, podcasting services?
You could barter podcasting services.
There we go.
Yeah, that's true.
For
else. Or you could barter like website design.
I could barter. I'm not really good
Futurama
at
Futurama fridge magnets.
There we go.
Designing business cards. You could barter mix CDs.
I hear that.
Really good mix CDs.
I hear that goats are really bad pets.
Why do you?
They're
want
delicious
goat?
Pets.
Pardon?
Why are you talking about that?
Well, who wouldn't want a goat?
Because they shit everywhere.
But I hear that.
Right?
I hear you can't
I don't
pet
know.
Them.
I've never had a goat as a pet. So.
I hear that you can't. Sorry, this is all. I'm just on like a bunch of non sequiturs right now.
Do you just want to have like goat cheese all the
no,
time?
No, I'm just saying like you know because they look really nice.
Speaking of ball sweat,
but
not, they eat stuff like
no,
your clothing.
But you can't really pet them because they run away and then they just jump everywhere. They jump over the.
They're
family.
Not nice to pet. Their fur isn't soft.
No, you can't
it's
pet
like
them because they're timid. They run away.
No, because they're not huge. Soft. Like they're not things that you would actually even want.
The reason
to pet.
I'm bringing this up, Rochelle, is because
you want a goat.
Well, yeah, that's yeah.
Well, I kind of figured that, you know.
Well,
I'm not dumb.
Okay.
Your goat would eat your calves, though.
Yeah, that's true.
A goat would eat our clothing and our shoes and stuff, and then we'd have to, like...
You would have no underwear to sell.
No, we wouldn't.
Underwear.
It'd be like a...
I wouldn't do that.
All right.
So
maybe
in
maybe
conclusion,
I should
friends, we are not going to be getting a goat.
Maybe I should rethink this.
I think, if anything, we should get a cow, because... You don't have to feed a cow.
Of course, they the just... top floor of a four-story walk-up, a cow is the most logical choice for a pet.
Well, clearly.
I'm not saying a pet.
Looking for something in the
pocket. Keep it, like, out back there, you know, just
like
tied around.
The...
And people will just think it's one of those, like, nasty Calgary cow sculptures, but really it's for real.
I hate those sculptures.
I know, they're so dumb.
So awful.
This is a follow-up to a story that Rochelle and I talked about a month or so ago. A mail carrier who defecated in yard gets to keep his job. Remember this story, Rochelle?
Oh, yeah, that dude. Okay. When you gotta go, you gotta go, right?
He shit
in the person's backyard.
A mail carrier who was caught using a yard as his personal toilet will not be fired. We trust people like the Postal Service and meter readers and people of that nature, a neighbor said in April, to come onto our property and to defecate. It's just wrong. The incident was an embarrassment for the post office, and the worker was immediately placed on unpaid leave.
So are these the people who are now being paid strike pay to not work?
No, this was a postal carrier in the States.
Ah, I see.
So, you know, because, you know, if you're doing residential mail and let's say you had, like, the burrito platter the previous evening and you ate, like, way too many of them, it happens. It happens,
Michelle.
That's
never happened to me.
And, you know, you're...
I know, but, like, okay, I'm... I don't know if he should have gotten fired, but if I
really?
Saw...
You're a mail carrier and you shit on someone's lawn. You don't think that someone should get fired for that? Would you expect to get fired for that?
Yeah, I would expect to get fired for that. But I think
well,
that the person,
than-
like, if this was happening, like, on your property, would you just sit there and you just call and complain? Wouldn't you go out and yell at that dude and I don't know,
no,
like, kick
no.
his ass or something?
You know,
he's
you know what?
Crazy enough to shit on your lawn. He would probably smear it all over your face and strangle you.
No, because you know if you yell at him, next thing you know, he's going to shit in your
okay,
mailbox.
I have a question. Yeah. I have a question for you. This is something that one of my clients asked me
all
today.
Right.
She said that she knows more than one guy who has tasted their own shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Like by accident or by...
No, like on purpose because they wanted to know what it tasted like. Have you ever done that?
I've never tasted my
Are
own
Are you
shit.
Sure?
I'm 100% positive.
Okay.
Did she say anything about her herself doing it? Or it's just men that are...
No, she just said that
tasters.
She knew like some dudes who said that.
Like, and like they just were like,
Was
looking
it like
at it, kind of perplexed and go,
yeah.
I wonder. Well, it can't be that bad. It came out of my body. Num, 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 num.
Like, regardless of... Okay, first of all, let's look at this from a couple aspects.
Right.
I don't think this should be a client of yours anymore. Because first of all, either she's associating with awful, disgusting people, or she's a bald-faced liar.
You shouldn't diss her, man. She actually listens to the show.
Whoops.
Oh, my God. That is so gross. Okay, well...
It is super gross, but she said that She's for real.
Like more than one person.
I think so.
I
don't know. I didn't ask for specific statistics.
Out of all the men you've met in your life, how many of them have tasted their own shit?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Interesting.
I should start asking around because you never know. It might be more.
Maybe it is a thing. You just don't know that.
Do you think lots of men taste their own cum?
I think that's how we started talking about this.
Oh, okay. And then it just moved.
No, in the salon with my client.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You know, sort of move from tasting cum to tasting shit?
Yeah.
That's the logical.
That's a natural progress.
There you go.
And I better know exactly how that happened. Oh, I want to taste my cum. Oh, what's on the end of my dick?
Yeah.
There's something else there.
I wonder what that tastes like.
Hope you put the kids to bed, friendly listeners.
All right. Well, it is actually coming up in an hour, believe it or not. So I think we should just wrap this show up and get out of here.
Beep.
Beep.
Did you want to say beep too?
No, I was going to say hi to my best girlfriend.
Do it.
I love you, Joe.
There you go. Thank you for listening to our show. Just a reminder that there is, in fact, no show this Sunday. Rochelle is doing her
book club.
So we're going to catch you next Wednesday. At the same time, or like I mentioned before, you can catch us anytime via podcast just by going into iTunes and typing in Tip Tap Tip. And there we are. If you're confused, because you get that way sometimes, we know. Life's been rough on the brain. Go to tiptaptip.com. There we have links to the iTunes. And then also, while you're there, while you're hanging out at the website, why don't you make a comment on our show? Say, hey, that's pretty good. I really like that part when everyone just started getting ridiculous to talk about eating their own shit. That was the highlight.
And to come.
And you should invite Michelle on some more often on the show.
Yeah!
Because she's awesome.
And I can talk about my burgeoning roller derby career.
Yes. Definitely, when we can have you back the next time, you can talk more about you.
It'd be awesome.
Let's talk about feces and more about
you.
Elwood. Yeah.
Stop talking about shit. Let's talk about me.
About elbowing people in the head.
In the face.
There we go.
Just like where girls like it.
Tell your friends, neighbors, lovers, spouses, pets about the show. Word of mouth is a great way to increase your audience. We like that. It makes us very, very happy. That being said, thanks for listening. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
And I'm Michelle.
We'll talk to you guys next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.